As we continue these weeks between the resurrection of Christ and Pentecost, we have readings that help us to understand what the reality of the resurrection is. And today's reading is a very important one in helping us to understand God and God in the risen Jesus Christ. How do we envision God? What image of God most accurately conveys to us God's nature? What was Jesus telling us about himself and about God when he spoke about himself being the good shepherd? The people of Israel were nomadic for thousands of years before they settled down. They were a pastoral people. And for them, the image of shepherd provided a powerful image of God. It was a way in which they could speak of God and better understand God. The Lord is my shepherd, the psalmist writes. The psalmist who, when praying, often addressed God by saying, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel." All who heard this early title for God understood the spirit and the substance of its meaning. The portrait of a shepherd was familiar to them. In fact, the shepherd image of God became so popular and so meaningful within Israel that people retained that image long after their work became more agricultural and they began to settle down and live in towns and cities. It's little wonder that Jesus picked up this long-cherished concept of God and then employed it as a part of his statements for identifying himself. "I am the good shepherd," Jesus declared. And as we expand that meaning of this statement, it forms the substance of our gospel reading for today. A good shepherd lived to assure the well-being of his sheep. A shepherd knew every one of his sheep by name, literally. When a good shepherd led his flock into a cave at night, he would probably, and most often, lay right at the beginning of that cave opening to protect the sheep from any wild beast coming in and to keep the ones from wandering away, literally laying down his body across the entrance. Sacrifice, therefore, was an integral part of this life of the shepherd. Especially for a good shepherd, he regularly submitted his life to the risks that it entailed to be a shepherd, to take care of this flock, especially if there was trouble. Now, no one was forced to sacrifice themselves. It was a voluntary act. But it was both a commitment to serve his flock, and it was also a responsibility. A good shepherd was willing to give his life for the benefit of his sheep, all of his sheep. He saw no sheep that he was unwilling to go after or to protect. It was so important that all of the sheep were important. So one being lost was so, they would go out and find that one. This is one part of the story that accompanied Jesus' identification of himself as the good shepherd. But that's not the whole story about shepherds and about Jesus. For us as 21st century Christians, our idea of shepherds has become, I'm afraid, sort of idyllic. It's become romanticized. And the work of a shepherd is conjured up as some pastoral scene and a shepherd's just sitting there or standing there looking over the flock with a watchful eye, maybe holding a staff with a hook on the end of it. Reality differed, though, from this. Reality in Jesus' time, Jesus using this image of the Good Shepherd within the context of Jesus' life, was different. The life of a shepherd was long, long days of hard work and long nights. The status of shepherds was without glory. It was just the opposite of how we idealize it oftentimes. And it's interesting for us to understand that shepherds found no respect and received very little, if any, welcome within the religious culture of their time. They had no opportunity to engage in the ritual washings demanded by the religious leaders. In many ways, in our day and age, they would have little opportunity to be here on a Sunday morning. You know, in our day and age, we have, or in our lifetime, we have had farmers who have had it, you know, difficult at times to be here at times that necessarily we worship. But you have to understand that in Jesus' time, for Jesus to use the image of a shepherd was quite radical, and especially to invite the people within the religious establishment, let me call it. Most of the times, shepherds were physically dirty, so therefore they were ritually unclean. They couldn't even come into the religious community. People would romanticize the life of a shepherd. People who do that would moan and groan if they actually had to do the work of a shepherd. You would be dirty. You would have to work with these dirty, smelly sheep. They weren't welcome. The shepherds were not welcome in the temple. But keep in mind, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." And as he said this, this image of God offered us and them and their time an interesting and a very important insight into the nature of God. What does it mean for us to understand that Jesus is the Good Shepherd? What truth is at stake in likening God to a shepherd? A shepherd like God, even a shepherd like Messiah, looms out in the out-of-the-way places of this earth. A shepherd like God does the dirty work of protection and rescue for all people. God spends a lot of time in the mud holes, in the briar-infested thickets of life. God protects and rescues from danger creatures who do not deserve such care. God makes serious sacrifices to help people who deliberately get into trouble and then fail to help themselves. The compassionate work of God strikes many people in religious circles as ritually unclean and spiritually unacceptable. "I am the good shepherd," Jesus said. What a picture. A shepherd with sheep under his arm and under another arm and maybe two or three in the folds of his garments. And just think about this, these sheep squirming to get free and these dirty, muddy sheep, some with thorns, this itchy, dirty wool against the shepherd's body. This is the image of God as shepherd. This is the picture of a good shepherd. And it may to you seem ridiculous that I'm saying this, you know, when you think about what it would be like for God, the creator of the universe, to be in such a low and oftentimes unacceptable place for us. What does it mean if we see God that way? You know, I think we have to really sit with that for a while. I can't stand up here and say what that means, because I think each of us has to get our minds and our hearts around what it means to understand God as our shepherd. God as the shepherd that cares about every living creature in this world. And then what does it say, if we sit with that a while, what does it say to us as God's children, as the disciples of Jesus? I think that if we think about the love that we're talking about, the caring for those who are the most downtrodden. And I'm not just talking about necessarily those who are not like us. I'm talking about us right here and how we each have brokenness. God knows that love. God knows our brokenness and has a love for us that is beyond our understanding. And that image for shepherd is a powerful one. Now, often in the church, folks see Pastor Mike and I as being your shepherd, your shepherds. And we can get caught up in that to the point that we think that the pastor is supposed to do all this. But that's not an image for ministry. I don't think that's the image even for ministry that Jesus was talking about. Because when we understand that our God is a God of love, and that we as his followers are to be imitating and magnifying that love, then I was reading this week, maybe we are supposed to be the dog, the sheepdogs, you know, that go out and, you know, help the herd, the ones that go astray. So maybe the image is that we should see ourselves not necessarily as the shepherd, but as the sheepdog, you know, in the world, so to speak. It's important, and it's a powerful image to think that Jesus was using this image in a way that would have been so radical in his life and his time. And it's important for us to understand that, because for us as Christians, it's important for us to understand what he was talking about, what kind of radical love and grace he was talking about, because he was upsetting a lot of the people that were hearing this, because it meant that they had to do something quite different than they wanted to. They had to maybe get outside of their rituals of clean and unclean, because I think Jesus was beginning to open the way, actually in his time, but what has happened in our time, that God's love is for all people, not just a select few, that we're all part of the flock of God. That's a beautiful image, I think. When you think about that, as uncomfortable as it is at times, it's so important for us to realize that we are in this together. And if we choose to see ourselves as dumb sheep at times, if we choose to see ourselves as the sheepdogs that are going out and bringing the ones that maybe are not part of the flock yet, and even at times as we see ourselves wanting to be the shepherds for those who are on their journey and trying to find this love and this way to open up their lives in new ways. I invite each of us to consider this image of God as shepherd. And in doing that, I put on your sermon notes a question. A question I would invite each of us to ponder and meditate on. What about my life needs to change in light of this understanding of God? What about an image of a God who is seeking to love all and inviting us to do the same? How will we look different as individuals and as a congregation as we do it? Amen.